You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 180 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Ride TV. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse. Brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we're back with our featured Making the Makeover Spotlight trainer, Shannon Quashie, to talk about her nutrition plan in her barn for those tricky transitioning thoroughbreds. Then we meet an adoptable horse of the week and a new training tip with New Vocations Amanda Grace. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York. And you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Well, Kristen, it is, I can't say what I want to say because we're a G-rated show, but it is hot as heck outside.
Oh, that is not where I thought you were going with that.
Oh, there's a lot of directions.
Other different ways you can describe how hot things are, so it's fine.
Yes, yes. Hot as a SARS guard, I may also say.
Oh.
We like that one. That one's positive. That one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes.
Very specific sub-audience will be like, hey, good one.
Yes.
But that's fine. I love it.
Find our Reddit here. But I know neither of us really have been riding for various.
I haven't even been here, man. I went on vacation.
Well, yeah, you were off grid.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, do not email me. Do not call me. I am gone. It was lovely. We went to the Boundary Waters in Minnesota, which is like a million acre canoe wilderness. So that sounds confusing. It is not a wilderness full of free range canoes. It is a place you go to go canoeing. So so that is what we did for 5 days or so. I don't know. It was great. There was no service. It was lovely.
What so. I love is that's how you spend your anniversary with your husband. Like, you guys make a new memory every year. It's so cool.
Yeah, that is a lovely way to describe the fact that we were just physically exhausted. We were mentally refreshed, but it was like in places like that, you have bodies of water, but you have to get between them. Like Minnesota, they call it, I think, the land of 10,000 lakes is like the official state nickname. There's more than 10,000 of them for sure. But to get between them, you often have to pick the canoe up and carry it. It's called a portage. And some of the portage trails are very short. And you can just, like, the two of us, like, I would grab one end and Eric would grab the other. We'd have our packs on and we'd, like, hoof it over some rocks and put it back in the next body of water and away we would go. And then others were, like, the longest one was a mile and a half. Eric did that with the canoe over his head. And then there was one where it looked very short on the map and we got to it and we were like, what do we do here? Because it basically went like straight up a rock face and then straight down the other side. So Eric is like, I'm not going to do this with the canoe over my head because if I lose my balance, I will die. So
yeah,
that one, we just hoofed it, like one of us on each end. And at some point, you know, as we're like bouncing it off a rock, Eric's like, yeah, this is great if you've ever wanted to take a canoe rock climbing. So that's kind of what the vacation was like. So
well, if anything,
a vacation.
It's a testament to your love, because I think Zach and I would have gotten divorced on a trip like that.
Yeah, we had a good time. There was one tense moment where I like just sort of like failed to, this was early on in the trip when we were still kind of trying to work out the rhythm of like how the portages worked. I had gotten too far ahead of Eric on the trail and failed to warn him that the trail twisted abruptly. And he just, when the canoe's on your head, you can't really see what's ahead of you. So he just like full on ran into a rock, like a giant rock face, like cliff. And was like, kabong, you know, and bounced the canoe off of that. And there was a tense few moments, but we got over that and moved on. So that was fine.
Romantic.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see your next book.
Yeah, I am not sure. Next year, we may actually do a beach vacation because we are kind of getting tired. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Although there are some like really cool beaches that are more not your typical destination beaches as well.
Yeah, we might just go for the destination beach with like the umbrella drinks at this point.
Listen, so that's fair. Everyone needs it at least once.
Be tired.
Yes.
Yeah. What have you been up to? How are the kids?
Oh, The kids are good. We've survived our 8-month sleep regression. That was fun. No one told me that was a thing. Oh. We survived teething. That was a thing.
They have teeth now?
Yeah. We have good Lord. Well, Archer has one tooth. Okay. The other one's coming. Helena has four. I swear they just came in overnight. But you know, that's not true based on my lack of sleep. So in a way, I also roughed it.
Yeah. Just like the domestic version. But yeah, either way.
A domestic version. I had little werewolves in my home.
And now they have teeth. Oh, God.
Now they have teeth. And they can also crawl. They both can crawl now. And Archer can basically walk. Oh, he climbs everything as well. So,
it's going to be a wild child. They're both going to be pretty wild, I think. But
I think so. Archer is the fittest one in the house because all he does is exercise. So
imagine if he was the height of Zach. How terrifying he would be.
Honestly. But other than that, I mean, things have been steady. It was nice to have kind of a break. I know listeners were still getting content, so it probably didn't feel like much of a break to you. But to have a couple weeks of rest, recharge, rethink the rest of the year for content was really nice. But I'm excited to be back, and I missed you.
I missed you, too. It is nice to be back and chatting away as we do. We do have a good show ahead. We have our favorite Amanda Grace from New Vocations with a training tip and a horse. And, of course, Shannon Quashie, who is always a fun conversation about her making the makeover horse. But before we get to that, I do want to know, how are your lessons going?
Good. They ended good. I am back to searching for a new program just because who I was working with did have some life events happen and we needed to pause. But definitely ended on good terms and potentially like future stuff down the road, but not right now. But Haley Bush, who was on not that long ago, she has agreed to let me pretend to be a hunter princess for a couple weeks while I am getting ready to lease Mildred, little Miss Millie, because she'll be finishing up her 4-H programs this summer.
Oh, so, I love that. Yeah. I can't wait to see you do hunter things.
It'll be fun. I told her I would like to learn how to jump a small cross pole without looking like a phony. We'll see if I can accomplish it. It's probably not likely, but it'll be fun to try.
I have heard from the people who know these things that anything under 2'6" is kind of all the same to the horse.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the horse. It's me.
Okay, yeah, valid.
It is me.
But like, what I mean is, like, it won't feel much bigger if you're like an 18-inch cross rail.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's going to be so good. I can't wait to see
it. It's going to be fun. It'll be good content regardless.
Love it. Well, you know, we're all about the content. That's the only reason we do anything around here.
Yeah. So we'll hang out there. And then I also heard that Sarah from Blue Dahlia will be competing at the makeover with one of the horses that she had talked about on the show. So if anyone listened to that episode, you will definitely get a chance to meet her come October.
That's exciting. And you are going? You're going to Kentucky?
I am, because we're going to be celebrating the twins' birthday.
Yeah, because that happened at the makeover. Not like at the makeover, but like I was at the makeover and you're like, it's happening. I was like, what? Our makeover babies. It's happening.
I know. I think I gave birth the day everyone was hauling in. So luckily not a full distraction for you.
Yeah, it's fine.
But yes. It's all good. Yes. So we'll be going in to celebrate. It'll be fun and, you know, check out everything. See Shannon there, say hi, and sure we'll see some other familiar faces from the show. So it'll be good.
Love it.
Yes. Yes. So I know when the heat breaks, are you excited to get back to riding?
Yes. You know, so I rode Jobber a little bit before vacation and he was starting to feel a lot stronger. So I think he's on the right track. Shorty will get shoes next round. He actually has gone up a shoe size, which I don't think is good. Like, I don't think it's like, oh, good, his feet are growing. It's like, no, I think his feet are like spreading. So it is time. You know, I explained to my farrier, I was like, listen, I think we've given the barefoot thing a good try. We've been trying to do it for years. And I just, in our current management system, which we'll actually talk about a little bit with Shannon again later in this episode, sometimes you just cannot control every factor that you need to in order to grow a healthy foot on a challenging horse. And I think that's where we're at. So back to shoes for him. And then we'll sort of see what that does for him. So he is right now the least sound of the three. So, but yeah, Jobber, you know, Jobber did blow an abscess while I was on vacation. So I'm doctoring the fallout of that this week.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that he looks fairly sound. Like he'll still trot away from me after I bandage it up. So I think it's just now a question of getting it to stop draining and to kind of close up. And then he should be hopefully good to go if it ever cools off.
I love it. Yeah, it's hard, that decision to chew, but sometimes it is unavoidable. But it just gives you a good start too. Like you can always get back to barefoot, I feel, but you just need to take the time to figure out what's going on and give that hoof some time to heal up.
Yeah, and his feet have just, they've never been very strong. They've never been, he's always had thin soles, you know, and I think I mentioned this in the last episode, like his radiographs indicated that there may be a little bit of bone loss in the left front coffin bone. So we're going to protect what we have left. Kind of pounding with his thin soles on hard ground in the summer is not the way to do that.
Yeah, so. It's been so dry too, and it does make a difference.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many factors outside of my control. So
yes.
Yeah, this is the route we are taking. So you got to do what the horse needs. So.
Well, weird that you're in some ways paralleling Shannon's journey. I know we'll hear more about where she's at and the nutrition side of things. But before we dive into that, we're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
Beautiful.
Sorry to segue. Archer is looking at his tractor book, and that's what you're hearing is him trying to make tractor noises.
Oh, good.
Do you want to help ensure your breeding stallion's reproductive efficiency? Do you want to make sure your newborn foal has the strongest immune system possible? Studies show that supplemental vitamin E can support a stallion's sperm cell quality and motility and offset the effects of stress associated with breeding. They also show that foals of mares supplemented with vitamin E have more responsive immune system than those that weren't. Elevate Natural Vitamin E can help. A research-proven, powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune functions. It does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in horses' tissue. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974. Well, we are back with our Making the Makeover rider, Shannon Quashie, and we are so excited to get some summer updates because we're getting closer and closer to the makeover, which probably isn't making her feel better that I'm saying that, but it's exciting for the rest of us. Shannon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much once again. Thanks so much for having me.
As always, it's great to hear from you. And like I said, I know I probably create a little bit of anxiety as we're creeping closer to the makeover, but would love to know kind of what's been going on with your horse, the high level view. What have you been up to since we last talked?
Well, we actually do have some positive news for once. And I will say is, you know, I'm looking forward to the makeover. Regardless of where we are in our journey, I'm always looking forward to the makeover. So it's not necessarily a negative thing or, you know, but I always love the makeover because I will be going regardless of whether or not my horse makes it. I'll be going regardless. So always looking forward to that. But yeah, so we have some good news. I'll try to keep it brief. I think our last update was early June. We had the CT. We got his little funky, bizarre gas pocket abscess thing dug out, and he's pretty much sound. I will say he's like 95% sound. He's still a little, so again, it says left front, walking, you know, straight sound, trotting to the right, like on a lunge, trotting to the right sound, trotting to the left on a small circle. He's he still has a bit of a, although it's mostly grown out because he did have to have a pretty decent sized chunk of his hoof kind of dug out when all that happened. And that was what, like mid-May when the vet kind of mid to late May when the vet kind of dug everything out. So that's pretty much grown out, but it is still sensitive because again, there was kind of the necrotic tissue in there. So we're still, you know, waiting for all the healthy stuff to grow out. So he still does wear boots most of the time for his turnout, just to make him more comfortable. Because what I found was happening as I used to, well, I guess we don't really necessarily want to concentrate on this, all this stuff, but he's comfy. He's pretty much sound. He's still in boots just to kind of protect that area that's mostly dug out. But I actually sat on my horse last weekend for the first time ever.
Ooh,
woo-hoo!
We love that for you.
This has been like such a long time coming. I'm like, hang on. We got to sit with that minute there. For
literally. So this horse came home October 17th. And it is now July. What was last weekend? July. I think it was Sunday that I did it. Either Saturday or Sunday. Like literally just this past weekend, 11th or 12th. Sat on him for the first time. So that's 7 months that he's been here. Am I doing my math? Yeah. 7 months that he's been here. Sat on him for the first time. It was a whopping 9 minutes. It was in a rope halter and a bareback pad.
Oh, that's perfect.
And exactly. Because I wanted to make it, I had like a friend of mine was like, I question your tack choices for that first ride. But I was like, because I sent a message and I'm like, oh my gosh, I sat on him today, you know, and I said rope halter and bareback pad. And she was like, yay, I question your tack choices, but yay. Mm-hmm. But no, you know what? I've built such a relationship with him at this point that I was pretty confident that he would just be super chill, and he was super chill. And it went well. So we just kind of walked around my ring for 9 minutes, did some serpentines, did lots of halts to make sure I did have breaks. But the groundwork definitely paid off, because little things that they don't normally know their first ride, like backing up and moving off the leg, things like that, he actually kind of knew. He was like, oh, wait, I kind of know what I'm supposed to do here.
So, I love this. I knew it. I was like, when you finally get to sit on this horse, he's going to be like, yeah, obviously. Like, yeah. You know, you've done so much homework with him, you know, that you could
literally
do.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, what took you so long? Like, he probably doesn't get it.
right. Well, and it's so funny because this is a big horse. I didn't realize how big he was when I had seen him in person. I had been to several of his races, whatever. But when I brought him, I had never been, you know, like next to him and measured him and put a stick on him or anything. And I knew when I brought him home, like, oh man, he's a little bigger than I thought I was. So I have still not sticked him, but he is at least 17 hands. And I'm almost 60 years old. I'm not, and I'm like 5'2" on a good day. Why I have a 17 hand horse, I have no idea, but, I've got this really nice mounting block. It's like a wooden, I had like somebody made it for me. It's one of those, like the big wooden kind of platform thing where it's got like three steps. I mean, it's like a 3 foot high mounting block. I had to put like two masonry bricks on top of that because I had no stirrups, right? I was getting on him bareback. So I had to put two masonry blocks on top of this 3 foot high mounting block so that I could get on the darn horse. But
for his first ride in a bareback pad.
For his first ride in a bareback pad.
Icon.
And we had, thank you. We had been practicing, like, just like I would lead him up to the mounting block. I would, you know, like hang all over him, you know, pat him all over and blah, blah, blah. So he was already, and again, like the mounting block is always a big issue when you're first time you get on. Usually they don't know how to stand still for the mounting block, but because we had been working on that, we walked up to it. He stood there. I climbed up the stairs, climbed up the bricks, and then just slid my leg over him. Because again, I'm almost 60 years old. I'm not like vaulting on him, and you know, at this point. So, he was perfect. He was literally perfect. I was so proud of him.
I love that.
And then we did go on one field trip. We went to, I had talked about before, the one person I take lessons with, who does obstacles and liberty work. We went on a field trip to her place to just do some obstacle stuff. And that, again, all in hand, because I've only sat on him once. So we just kind of did it in hand. And that was his first field trip ever, aside from the vet and getting the CT done. That was his first field trip ever. And he was I was really proud of him. It was a little overwhelming. A massive storm blew in like 10 minutes. And she has like this lovely indoor ring, but a massive thunderstorm blew in like 10 minutes after we were in there, with thunder and lightning and pouring rain. And he was like, where the heck am I? I can't see any other horses. I'm away. I mean, he was a kite. And when you have a 17 hand horse being a kite, it can be a little intimidating, but he was good. And then when the storm passed, he walked over some bridges and did all that. And unfortunately, that's the only field trip we've been on, though, because it then turned 180 degrees. And so I'm a very fair weather rider.
I feel no ego to ride in weather like this.
No, when it's like 90 degrees and 90% humidity, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. And they don't want to do that. So,
right.
So yeah, we've not been able to, I'm going to put my horse in a metal box when it's 95 degrees. No, no, thank you. That's not my jam.
That's all right.
So we've not done a whole lot, but at least we have positive. We are attempting to do things. So, that is the update.
I love that. I'm so excited that you got to sit on him. So
that's great. Yeah, me too.
Love it.
I'm excited.
Well, okay. One thing we always like to do with this Make the Makeover series, because I think this is something that, if you go like to a Facebook group and you're like, I don't know what to feed my horse. All you're going to get is 600 people telling you their favorite brand of feed. Which is fine, but like that doesn't actually help anybody because that's just overwhelming. So we love to take kind of a deep dive into our Make the Makeover trainers' feed regimens, and like how you decide what to feed, how much to feed, your just feeding philosophy. And of course, you have many thoroughbreds and have had many thoroughbreds. So how do you start? What do you do first day you bring a horse home? What do you do for feed?
Yeah, so hopefully I don't offend anybody. As I think,
we're no holds barred here, man. At this point, if I'm offensive, I'm offensive. I'm sorry.
So. I just think same with people. When all the food that we eat, and I'll tell you, my horses probably eat better than I do because I still eat processed foods and stuff like that. But all the processed foods we put into them, and all the the stuff that's in the grains has all been sprayed with Lord knows what, and it's all byproducts of something. And it's not healthy when we eat that stuff, and it's not healthy when they eat it either. And a lot of the stuff that's in our feed, and again, I'm apologizing in advance if I'm offending anybody, but a lot of stuff that's in our feed is inflammatory, and it affects their entire body system. So my horses are on a, it's been called a forage-based diet, but that's kind of a misnomer because they're all forage-based. If your horses are on pasture or your horses are eating hay every day, aside from whatever grain they get, they're eating hay and they're on a pasture, that's forage. So I like to call it more of like a whole foods or species, quote unquote species appropriate diet. I do have pasture. They are out 22 hours a day. They're out. Now that he's here, I actually have to put a round bell out there all the time. Usually my pastures will keep them fed all summer, and I only have to put out like a round bell during the winter, but now that he's here, I don't have a whole lot of pasture space, and adding a fifth horse has kind of Anyway, so exactly. So now there's a round bell out there in the summer, although they don't really touch it. It's there. But so I don't use any. Yeah. So back to the I don't use any processed commercial feed at all. No name, no commercial processed feed at all. They get a mix of alfalfa cubes, beet pulp, and all this kind of comes with a caveat. I use certain alfalfa cubes because a lot of them, again, they're sprayed with pesticides and blah, 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 and they're genetically modified. So I use non-GMO alfalfa cubes, and I don't want to necessarily be a commercial, but I'm happy to be a commercial. Triple Crown is their alfalfa cubes are non-GMO. I use beet pulp, but I don't just use any beet pulp. It's called Speedy Beet, and it's made in the UK, and it does not have any pesticides or anything like that on it. It's also lower in iron than a lot of regular standard beet pulp that you can buy. Because again, it's made in the UK, and the UK is much more restrictive on the stuff that goes in feed than we are.
And so, I'm just going to throw in there too that high iron has been linked to like hoof issues.
Correct. Correct.
So in case anyone's well, what deal difference does the iron make? So yeah, that's where that's coming from.
Iron makes a huge difference, and I'm not, I'm definitely not a nutritionist. I don't know all of the stuff, but. Yeah, the high iron offsets. So the copper and zinc are really beneficial for hoof growth and blah, blah, blah. And if you have high iron, it offsets the copper zinc. And that ratio, and that impacts the hoof health and a whole lot of other stuff. High iron is not good at all. And a lot of people, if you get really into the quote-unquote forage-based feeding, a lot of people say, if you feed beet pulp is actually really, a lot of people don't like beet pulp, and they think it's a product of the sugar beet industry, so they think, oh, it's got sugar in it. No, not at all. There's like literally zero sugar in it.
That's why it's the byproduct. They take all the sugar out.
They take all the sugar out. Exactly. And it's super high fiber, and it's really great for helping to get weight on and things like that. A lot of people say, you got to rinse it and you have to soak it. Well, in my opinion, you have to soak it. Some people say you got to rinse it and soak it and rinse it. And no, I don't, because I use the Speedy Beet, you don't have to do that. And then I also use, Timothy pellets. And the reason I use basically three different types of forages. And the reason I do that is, the more variety you have in the types of forage they get, all the better for the gut. It just helps the microflora in their gut and increases all the good stuff that's going on in their gut. So that's the reason why I use three different types of forages. And again, just my thing. So, and then they get, loose salt. They all get a 1 tablespoon AM and 1 tablespoon PM of loose salt. And they get, I have to kind of go through my little thing. They do get vitamin E, even though they are on pasture, I still supplement vitamin E just because I think it's so super important. So in the winter times, they get like a couple thousand IUs of vitamin E. In the summertime, since they are on fresh pasture, I cut that back so they get like half as much, but they still get vitamin E regardless. And they get, Charlie is actually getting a little extra copper zinc just to help him with all the nasty hoof that he had coming here. And then they get, probably most importantly, a mineral. I prefer to use a product called Kiss Trace, and it is a balance. And the other important thing with a lot of feeds, and even balancers are great, like if you use balancers and stuff, but the problem with a lot of the minerals that are in our processed feeds is they're not the proper kind of, what's the word? I don't know. Chelation, like whatever. Thank you. That's the word. Bioavailable. Because they're, yeah. And I should have looked up the proper terms, but Kiss Trace, theirs are, they're much more bioavailable than, you know, there's like the oxides and the sulfates and the whatever. And now again, I should have looked it up before I had this. I didn't know we were going to talk about this tonight, but the Kiss Trace, and there are a few products like Vermont Blend, Kiss Trace. There are a few of those mineral supplements out there, but they are bound with, I believe it's amino acids, which makes them much more bioavailable. So you can have, yeah, you can look at your feed tags of all the processed commercial feeds out there, and they say, oh, they've got all these vitamins and minerals and blah, blah, blah. But if they're not bioavailable, the horse isn't absorbing them anyway. So they really don't, they look nice on paper, but if your horse isn't absorbing them properly, they're not really doing much for you.
Right.
So use that, and then ground flax seed is, I use ground flax seed. And then probably one of the most, well, not most important, but another important thing I do, I'm out in the kind of country, so I am on a well, and my well water is actually, it's pretty clean. Like, it, you know, I have it tested every year. It's pretty clean. My filtration system, you know, in my house, I've got a filtration system and blah, blah, blah. But that does not do my barn water. So my barn water is straight from the well. And it's clean. Like on paper, it's clean. But I actually still use a hose filter on all the water. So all the water that they drink, I soak all my feed. So all the, because they're, again, there's alfalfa cubes and the bee pulp and all that. So it all has to be soaked. So their feed is always soaked. So all that water that's in their feed and in their buckets and in their pasture, it's all filtered. I use a hose filter on it. So it filters out all heavy metals and so forth. And and I have four barefoot, four thoroughbreds. And aside from the hiccups Charlie has had, but to be fair, he had stuff to get rid of before he started on this diet. And his feet look great. And so, yeah, that is my, so I basically started on that the minute he came home. I mean, I did get some senior feed. I had some senior feed that I did mix in with his stuff at first, because I figured, like, he's going from all the crack grain at the track, and is he going to eat this stuff that I'm giving him? Because there's no, you know, there's no molasses, there's no whatever in what I'm giving him. That boy ate it up. He did not, like, I had to throw a little bit of senior in the first day or two, and then he was like, nope, I'm good. And he ate it up. Now I will say that getting weight on him, he was looking great the first couple months. And then I was like, I need to get more weight on, and I still need to get more weight on him, but he's been in pain for the last 3.5 months. So that obviously causes a lot of stress. And so I think that probably impact him, you know, gaining weight. And now the last couple of whatever it is, 3-4 weeks that he's actually been sound, I can see that he hasn't lost weight or anything. He's definitely gained weight since he came home, but he hasn't gained as much as I probably would have liked. But I can tell in like the last month that he's put on a few pounds, and he's
feeling better.
He literally, like, when I turn him out, he actually trots out, canters out, runs, and which he has never, even when he came home, I think he was just body sore, you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever was in there was brewing.
Okay, this sounds kind of weird, but he doesn't have the greatest conformation in the world. He's pretty cow-hocked. And when I would see him walk, like, away from me, I was like, this is a terrible analogy, but it looked like he had, it looked like he was trying to hold something between his butt cheeks. Like, say you stuck like a pencil between his butt cheeks. Right. Yeah. And like he was walking, trying to hold it. He was so tight in his hind end. And it literally looked like what he was like squeezing his butt cheeks together as he would walk out. And like, I've been looking at him the last, you know, whatever, 2-3 weeks. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's literally just like walking out. He's not, he's walking out. He's trotting out. He's bucking and playing. He's feeling good. I'm so, so excited. Oh my gosh, I've been blabbing so much. I'm so sorry.
No. This has been super interesting because I think one takeaway here is that like you gave this feed program the time to work. And I think that that's a missing ingredient in a lot of programs. Like people will get a horse home, they'll start to feed it. They don't see the results, you know, in the first 30 days and they kind of panic and they start throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah.
They change, you know, feed brands, they change this, they change that. And you, like feeding a thoroughbred, like, yes, you will always see people swearing that like, look at the difference in 30 days. And it's like, yes, some horses are like that. Not every horse is like that. You do need to kind of play a long game. I would say maybe after like 90 to 120 days, if you're like really seeing like no gain, then it's time to make some changes. But you do have to like be patient with this.
You got
to
give it time, right?
Yeah. And I do think sometimes on the makeover schedule, people will panic a little bit and be like, I only have until October, you know, and it's like, well, okay, yes.
Well, especially seeing also, like all the social media hype, right? Like other people have their horses come through and they post all the good that's happening and you don't know what that horse's condition was coming in or anything
at
all.
Yeah, you have people swearing like my whole barn is on this. And it's like, I mean, they might be.
Right.
But you don't know the quantities. You don't know, you know, like, yeah, okay, that horse is on the same feed as this horse, but that horse is being fed twice a day. This horse is being fed four times a day, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah.
So, so I think that's a big takeaway is you do need to give a program time to work. I'm glad that this program works for you. I tried this, a very similar program to this a few years ago with my guys. And I think the problem I had is that the forage is inconsistent here. Like I keep my horses on family property with cattle. It always gets droughty. It's always overgrazed for a brief period. And the, to make a forage, how did you word it? It's a
species
specific,
species appropriate, you know,
species appropriate diet to make that work. Because like, it was annoying to me. I was like, how are these horses not looking as good as these lactating cows who are, you know, milking calves? Those cows look well, you know, but like, okay, like I'm working my horses as athletes. So that's a little bit of a different game,
right?
You know, and the cattle are taking more of the grass as they should because it's their farm.
Right.
Because I couldn't keep the forage base, you know, because that's the huge base of the pyramid, right? Like all this other stuff is just 1,000% the narrow point on top. I couldn't keep that base consistent, so it didn't matter what I put on top. Like that wasn't going to fix it. So in order to give them more consistency, I do have them back on probably closer to a more quote unquote typical grain diet. I am feeding Triple Crown, which I know is like straddles the line between like grain free or grain, or I call it grain. I'm like, whatever, like it works for them. So
honestly, I think that's the one of the best ones. It has and I like the senior that I did use was Triple Crown Senior Gold because it has like the least molasses and starch and blah 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 in it. And it I think and it's fine. Like I understand that it's difficult to do, and as people absolutely, and people are in boarding barns and things like that, and they need to use certain grains and whatever, and I get that. But I would say for anyone, there are a couple of things. Like number one, loose salt. Horses cannot get enough. Well, again, I my opinion, horses cannot get enough salt from just licking a salt block. Their tongue is not rough enough. They would have to stand there and lick that thing all day long to get enough sodium that they truly need. So supplementing salt is huge in anyone. I think everybody should at least get 2 tablespoons of salt a day, especially when it's hot or they're in work or whatever. Again, my opinion, but my opinion is based on a whole lot of research. And there's all sorts of proof out there that says that you should do that. But you can use commercial grains, but maybe supplement it with or add on a like a mineral balancer, because again, the in the commercial grains, a lot of that stuff is not bioavailable. So even though it lists all the stuff it has in there, are they actually absorbing? And listen, like you and I, can we survive eating McDonald's every day? Sure, we can survive. We'll gain weight even. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the healthiest thing in the world. So then all these little, you know, funky I saw somebody posted something the other day in the makeover trainer group, like my horse has not been able to keep shoes on for 6 months, something, something, something. Well, the reason your hoof quality is so bad is because they're not getting the minerals that they need. And we know that when they come off the track that they don't have the best hoof quality. And if they're getting,
everything's related to everything, right? Like everything is, it's all a web.
Absolutely,
and it's really hard to isolate, like, oh, this is your problem, that's your problem. It's like, you really have to look at the whole horse.
You do. Right. Absolutely. 100%. And again, yeah, people are going to get really upset with me because they're like, oh, my horse is on this grain and he's doing great. And that's fabulous. That's fabulous. I love that. But
yeah, I mean, you're not here telling everyone that they're wrong. You're just telling us what you believe and what works well for your horses.
What I believe. So,
yeah.
And I believe, again, I've got four barefoot thoroughbreds that are doing, and a pony who's been barefoot for you. And yeah, they're all, and I need to knock on wood, aside from all this stuff with Charlie, you know, horses are pretty darn healthy. We don't see the vet. You know, we don't, again, I'm knocking on wood. We see the vet twice a year for spring vaccines and fall vaccines, and that's it.
This year notwithstanding, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Joy, we should have a nutritionist on, because I do think that there is like growing interest in like sort of the forage-based, forage-first kind of
Your timing diets. Is perfect, because I just messaged one, so that is coming.
Oh, awesome. Man, look at that. We're all
look
in the
at that.
So Shannon, to conclude, if anyone is curious about a forage first diet or a species appropriate diet, do you have any resources you would recommend?
Oh Lord. But I'll have to get back to you on that.
That's perfect. No, because you can email it to us and we can put it out on our social after this episode drops too, to be like, hey, you know, follow up. Here's what Shannon recommends if you are interested in learning more, right? Like,
because there's a couple
of do their research and make their own, you know, decisions and see what they want to do. Because I did, exactly. I tried it. I can vouch that for a time it worked, and then the pasture quality was too up and down. It just didn't work for us. So, but it may work for someone who has, you know, full control over their own property. So,
and I will say, sorry, I know we're trying to go, but I don't like some people get really out of control and they, I won't say out of control. No, some people get very, like, they test their hay and they, you know, do all the calculations and balance everything according to their hay tests and blah, blah, blah. And that's fabulous. I don't do that. That's too much for me. I get my hay from the same guy, but he grows a lot of it. But then if he runs out, he gets it from various places. So there's no telling the quality of my hay. And I honestly have not had my pastures tested either. So I don't know the quality. I mean, I know, you know, they look decent. There's some weeds, but there's some green grass.
Right?
Yeah, like whatever. Yeah.
Tell. Yeah.
So I'm not balancing. I'm not getting like micromanaging where I'm balancing it to the hay and doing all the calculations. No. But I just figure as long as they're getting that mineral mix, they're getting their daily, like their daily multivitamin, their Flintstones or one a day or whatever you want to call it. You know, they're getting that every day. They're getting their salt. They're getting all that. And it just evens out in the long run. Everything kind of evens out and works out. So yes, I do have, you know, like a couple of groups and pages that I follow. And if anybody wants to DM me, I'm more than happy to share information. And yeah, if you shoot me an email or whatever, I'll because I'll probably forget after we hang up. But I'm happy to share the you know, names of the the places that I get my info from. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Shannon, thanks very much. This has been a very interesting conversation. I'm so happy that Charlie, that first of all, that you got to sit on him and go for a ride. And hopefully that was the first of many more. I know we're like, oh, Charlie, who? but yeah, we'll look forward to getting another update next month. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. Oh my gosh. It's like less than 3 months away. This is really scary.
Meaning, no, you have plenty of time. It's going to be great.
Oh yeah. Plenty of time. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for having me once again, and I will talk to you next month.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Cowgirls and Ridiculous Ranches, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from BarrelRacing.com and Horse and Rider On Demand. Whether you're ready to relax with your favorite series, binge watch competition footage, or train with a world champion, subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit ridetvgo.tv to subscribe.
Well, it is our favorite time of the show where we get to do a little window shopping for horses that we may or may not be ready to put in our trailer and bring home from our friends at New Vocations. Amanda, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me back.
How are things going in Kentucky? Is it a glorious, beautiful summer?
It is so hot in Kentucky right now. It's like a swamp.
Great. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. And I think Joy's there too. It just seems like a national heat wave going on.
So I'm dying. Recording this.
Like mid-July, I don't anticipate that 10 days from now that it's going to be any better. So I know I personally, I don't work my horses much over about 85 degrees because typically where we are, you know, when it's hot, it's accompanied by humidity. I know there's like the heat index scales you can look at, you know, if it's like high humidity but lower heat, and you know, you can look these things up. There's plenty of resources available. That's just my own personal cutoff because over 85, I'm like, bleh, it's gross. So I don't know. But do you guys have a cutoff at New Vocations? Like a formal one? Or?
Yeah. So our formal one is if the real feel is over 95.
Mm, yeah.
So this week and a couple other weeks this summer, we've been doing a hot day schedule. So the horses come in and then they stay in until about 7 p.m. And then we turn them out, and we are definitely not riding after about 10 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. It's just, it's not worth it, right? Like, it's not worth hurting yourself. It's not worth hurting your horses. You know, just everybody kind of lay low, stay cool, do your thing, and move on. So yeah, that said, like, sometimes when it's really gross, I will bring my horses in, and the three of them, you know, we're down to three, two thoroughbreds and a standardbred. I joke all the time, they share one brain cell. between the three of them. So they've gotten very good. I can lead. This is not Pony Club approved, by the way. So I don't want people emailing me being like, you shouldn't do that. Like, I know I shouldn't, but it's not going to stop me. I lead all three of them down together. And then I ground tie the three of them in the driveway. And, you know, as long as they're together, the brain cell is firing and they're happy to stand there and be hosed off and everything is glorious and fine. Give them a nice bath when it's this hot and sticky. Scrape everybody off. Go turn them back out in the shade. Like, we're good. We're done. If we're doing this one at a time, where the brain cell is divided, my horse is fine. Wes's standard bred is fine. My husband's horse, Shorty, is just like Mr. Ants in the pants. Like, he cannot stand still. If he's sandwiched between the other two, he's like, this is great. This is fine. If he's by himself, he's like, I don't want to. And he's just, you know, like slow jigging back and forth side to side. I know it's not like a shortage of experience, right? Like, horses on the track are hosed off all the time, like every day, every time they're worked. Like, he had a groom, he had, like, this is not a new concept to him, but for some reason here he's like, I'm not standing still. So what do you do for those Jimmy leg horses that just will not stand still for a bath?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all know that they have done this at the track, and some of them come into New Vocations and they're like, I've never seen water before.
Great.
Yeah, we know that's not the case. But we do have very different expectations for them once they're off the track than when they're at the track. I mean, they're very used to a strict routine and efficiency. So when we get them in, or when they go to their adopted home, maybe standing like a statue for 20 minutes for a full on spa day, that's a big new life lesson for them that they need to learn. So, I mean, at the track, they're being hosed off very quickly and efficiently and kind of on the move. And now we're like, hey, you need to stand still for 20 minutes while I get you all sudsy. So it is a big new life lesson for them. And some of them are obviously more patient than others. So what we do is with those ones that are jigging around, like most of our guys are really young too. You know, they're 2-3-year-olds. So we keep it as short and sweet as possible and just kind of adjusting them. Like you moved, let's go back to center. That's where we need to be. And then proceed with the bath and just kind of keep setting expectations, especially with the babies. Like, nope, that's not what I wanted. This is what we need to do. And keeping it really short and sweet and then slowly building up on that.
I like that it's keep it short and sweet, but also like put their feet back where you wanted them.
Yes. You don't want to be like
chase them in a circle with the hose.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. They're like, oh, he moved 5 steps to the left, so I'm going to move 5 steps to the left. And then that's just going to, you know, just reinforce that they should keep moving away. So I just kind of keep bringing them. We use the cross ties generally. Sometimes I'll have a lead rope on them as well to just kind of help them stay centered and readjust them. Keep my hand on them. And just kind of keep bringing them back to where I want them to be.
Okay, this is good. This backs me up because I tell Eric all the time. I'm like, I get he doesn't stand, but you have to at least put him back where he was. And Eric is of the mindset of like, it's just more efficient if we just do it as fast as possible. And I'm like, yes, it is. But he's not learning anything. So, all right, good to know. Thanks for backing me up. This has
absolutely
been
anytime.
Marriage counseling with Kristen and Amanda. Love it. All right. Well, one, speaking of young horses, you have a lovely young horse to share with us today. We were casing her out before we hit the record button. Tell us about Unnamed Public Garden 24, which I know is a mouthful. You guys call her Daisy.
Yes. Isn't she gorgeous? So she is going to be a phenomenal horse. She just wasn't born to be a racehorse. She's going to be huge too. She is growing like a weed. I swear every time I look at her, she's even bigger and she's super butt high right now. So she's still growing into herself. But she has the most wonderful mind. I got on her for her first ride and she was like, I'm not sure what we're doing, but okay, let's go. So I think when she grows into her phenomenal body, she's going to be a phenomenal athlete. She just hasn't finished growing yet.
Yeah, she definitely has like that lanky, almost like long yearling kind of look, you know?
And yeah.
I'm not always very good at like seeing the future. I think this is one that someone with like a much better, more developed eye than me is going to get a steal on this horse.
I don't know, Kristen. My 9-month-old daughter is watching and she's clawing to climb to look at her. So
I just don't have the eye. Your child really does. So
they can grow up
like,
together.
Oh, baby horse. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
She's super
get
cute.
Your 9-month-old, a 2-year-old. This is perfect. Yeah.
She looks like she's going to fill out to be not just tall, but wide, like if you want a thicker horse. And I love that she's got some quality road in her. Those horses tend to be really nice hunter type.
Yeah, I really love a quality road. And like you said, she's already really thick and she's still super butt high. So I can only imagine what she's going to look like a year or two from now. And when she's muscled up and she's going to be a powerhouse.
And she's one too, I think, like you have to see her in motion. Like I went and opened the video and I was like, oh, like this doesn't look almost like the same horse. Like she's so quiet when you get on and then she just walks right off. And you can tell like watching her move, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a big girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's already as big as the boys that we have in the barn and she's still just a baby. So, and she already moves so beautifully. I can only imagine when she's all balanced out and not top heavy. I think she's going to, I mean, I can definitely see her being a phenomenal dressage horse or any kind of athlete. She just retired slow. She wasn't built to be a racehorse.
Yeah. Which I mean, you know, and that's the reality of it, right? Like it happens in every breed. The thoroughbreds are just the highest profile ones, but it happens in every breed, you know, that someone breeds a horse for a specific purpose. And then it's like, well, that's not going to work. You know, I have a friend who's eventing a quarter horse who came off a ranch in Montana because it just didn't work there. So it's the same deal, just a different package. But yeah, this is a lovely little filly. All right. So she's 2 years old. She's unnamed, right? So if anybody is like super into it, they could actually name her with the jockey club, right?
Yes. Yes, so, name it what fresh slate. Name it what you'd like.
Oh, that'd be fun. What would you name her?
What would I name her? I mean, I would definitely give her something as big and fancy as she is.
I name her like Artemis.
Yeah.
Or Demeter. Demeter would be great because of springtime and the flowers.
I love that. And that absolutely suits her.
I love that. All right, folks. So she is listed as unnamed public garden 24, but barn name is Daisy. And Amanda, remind the folks where they can find Daisy and all the other lovely horses you have up for adoption.
Absolutely. You can find all of our horses that are online right now at newvocations.org. And I encourage everyone to become an approved adopter before you even start looking, so that when you find the one that catches your eye, you are ready to move forward with them.
They go fast, people. So get those applications in. You don't have to have one in mind to apply.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks very much, Amanda. I am sure by the time this comes out, this lovely lady is going to be gone, but we're going to keep an eye on her. Hopefully a listener gets her.
That sounds so great.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. You can follow the network on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Rider, and you can follow along with our new farm adventures on Instagram at Painted Forest Farm. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMirror, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Ride TV, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. And don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. Also, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, as it really helps us grow. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And cowside leg.
Bye, guys.